Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Happy New Year, you crazy countercultural home birth having granola eating people. It's the Trim Healthy Podcast. And hey, it's 2023, folks.
Well, maybe you need to do an introduction for the people that are normal.
Yeah, because you just described Serene.
I described 99% of our listeners.
No, you didn't. You
no.
Didn't.
Okay, there's the occasional woman that's listening who
there's lots.
I'd say two-thirds of our listeners are not home birth and homeschooling. I think about one-third are. That's what I would say. Maybe 40%.
Happy New Year, you career mom, forward-thinking, yoga pants-wearing, high-end food-buying woman of the future.
There
it's
you go.
It's the Trim Healthy Podcast. And it's 2023, people!
I think we just covered everybody.
Yeah, we're so glad you tuned in.
Except
you.
We didn't cover the 17 men.
We didn't.
You better do an introduction to them.
Happy New Year, you 17 wife-obeying, food-eating, happy just to be here. She makes some decisions, but not all, but it's 2023, and your relationship is changing, man. All because they listen to the Trim Healthy Podcast.
6 out of 10 for that one.
I don't know. I'd say overall.
Even 10 though, out of 10 on the first two.
Oh, okay. So that gives them about a score of 8.9.
Guys, yeah. I can do this all day.
I thought your first two were excellent.
Yeah, your first two were excellent. The second one, you were pulling. You're starting to struggle, but you held it and you held the pirouette. No. Gymnastics. You held the arabesque, and you landed the stand, and you put the arms in the air like that, and you didn't fall.
The third one, you fell.
They hold it together. You think they're gonna fall, and they don't.
And they make it.
They make it.
Yeah. Well, super stoked. Wanted to say that if you have New Year's resolutions, you're going to fail, and the reason I say that is because we need to change those from New Year's resolutions to lifestyle changes. You're not doing something new for the new year. You're actually, what's the statistics on this, where New Year's resolutions, a percentage of them?
You know what, Danny? I don't really care, because even if it becomes your lifestyle, you have to start somewhere new,
we
right?
can disagree.
Yeah, so
we used to be on your line of thinking. Pearl's like, I hate New Year's resolution because they're just a break, like all this New Year stuff. Pearl was on your line of thinking, but we've changed.
Oh, you changed?
Yeah, I'm not. Changed. I don't.
Let's do an argument podcast.
Okay, so I don't make New Year's resolutions, but my heart has come around to embrace all things new for my life. So if something is great for my life, I may implement it. I think that's going to be a part of me and I want to bring it in. When's a good time to bring it in? Hey, New Year's may be a great time. Maybe I'll leave it to March, but it's coming in.
Yeah.
And as this new year opens, I just open my heart to all the things.
I feel like New Year's Day is every morning.
Because
every morning, it's so biblical.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. But yours was a negative approach.
Fist pump. Yeah, but you came all like, I'm fist pumping the spirit of it, Dan.
Not the letter.
No, because you came in and you said, oh, I'm sorry. If you're going to make a New Year's resolution, you're going to break it, blah, blah, blah.
It's true.
The letter of the law kills
Dan. No, it's not, because guess what? There are people that defy the odds, and I would beg to differ.
Yeah.
Even though many people buy their gym equipment, it's not used by April. I would like to say that I betcha there's some woman sitting here listening, maybe one of the 17 men, that started something on a New Year's and it's still a part of their life. Why? Because they started something and it was good for them. Even though things fell away, if it was so good that they kept it, they defied the odds. And I bet you there's people sitting right here saying, that's me.
I would love to see people write, because they write into our Trim Healthy, they comment on Trim Healthy Mama's Facebook mostly,
yeah,
right?
Or they write into support.
I would love to know how many started something as a New Year's resolution And 5 years later, they're still doing it.
I tell you what, Dan, I think that it sounds a little negative. We said we could argue on this podcast, yeah. right? It's like you're saying, okay, you know, all these marriages and all of that mm. kind of stuff.
But do I really talk like this? Yeah. I mean, when I say it, I'm like, deeper.
When you say something that I disagree with, I have to.
I say it in stupid voice.
Yes.
I think yes. that like thousands of people are going to fail because it's New Year's resolution.
Yes, because that was the whole vibe behind it. The whole vibe behind it was so daft in my mind.
It was daft.
Because it was like, you know, just because so many people have failed at the New Year's resolutions, I think New Year's resolutions are junk. That's like, because so many people have failed at marriage, I think marriage is junk. And that's not the case, right? Marriage is awesome. Marriage is sacred. Marriage is so powerful. Yeah. And we should still have faith for marriage. And we should still have faith for New Year's resolutions, because thousands of people have failed marriage too.
That's
just like
true.
New Year's resolutions. But we have to have faith for it, because guess what? I believe in the new. And like you, I believe in the new every morning. But some people only get inspired to new at least one day a year. And it's better than no days a year.
Ooh, what do you think of that, Dan? That was a pretty good comeback.
Get that look off your face. That you were way too happy about what she said.
It was so good.
For starters, before I comment.
But you know, and then the biblical thing too about it, and I don't know the reference, but it's like new every morning. Great is...
That was the hymn. Hold on.
No, it's a scripture. And I bet you I got it here on my teleprompter, because I did think of a little few things to say here.
But I think Danny's coming to your altar call. I don't know if you refute that argument.
No, that last one was solid.
It was
I just
solid.
Don't like that you noticed it first. Now that I'm thinking about it,
it's good that at least people think of one day is better than no days.
Because
right?
of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. That's Lamentations 3:22.
But he's arguing
great
that too.
Great is your faithfulness.
Danny's not arguing that.
No, I know that. But if somebody gets, I agree with that. But if somebody gets that only one day a year,
great.
Better than none.
Yeah.
And it starts there. It starts there.
It does start there.
It's the seed.
Ooh. Ooh, Serene.
And I just want to say, when we are doing this New Year's potty, we are going to talk today about the new. And because Pearl's like, anything to bring? And I'm like, boy, we've been so busy over Christmas. We did a wedding just before Christmas. Ah, everything's crazy. We've got so many exciting business ventures coming too. And we're just packed in the brain. So I said, we don't have meat, I don't think. But I called her back. Lied. I didn't call her back. I talked when I walked up the stairs.
In your head, you called me back.
I do a lot of calling back in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and I thought, a new and living way, walk ye in it. That's a song too, but I'm sure it's a verse in the Bible.
It's a scripture.
It is. And I think that's what we want to talk about today. But the spirit of it is not just for this new year. The spirit of it is for every day of the year.
Okay, I'm going to speak to that.
Yeah. And I'm just going to start
she
it off.
She said, yeah, but
someday.
Did you want to
yes,
speak to
he
it?
Did.
Oh, speak to it. I thought you meant I fist pump you on that. Like I adhere to that idea.
Yeah. Now I'm going to speak to it.
Go for it.
I am sorry. I was wrong. I love you.
Aw.
Sounds like you're on what's that guy's name? Donovan, Donahue, or something.
See, she goes back to the 80s of the
Donahue.
Television.
What's
that? Early 90s.
Is Donahue alive?
That's all she remembers. That's the last time she had TV.
Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
I made a New Year's resolution 1 year to not watch TV, and I don't.
Well, you don't have it in your house, bub. That was back in the late 80s, early 90s.
It was a New Year's resolution to not have a TV in my house, bub, and I kept it. Bub.
Young bub.
No, Danny, you were well practiced at that. Okay.
But I do want to say this.
It's 20 years.
If you've done speaking to that.
And now you have the baton.
Okay. I just want to say one thing to start us all rolling, and then we'll go from there. But what I want to say about the new year, whatever hasn't brought us growth in our life, whatever is stinking on the vine, rotting on the vine, or is stunting our growth, lop it off. That's what I want to say to us. I want to say to me, lop it off. Like there might be some habits, there might be some stuff, there might be some things that just is not really bringing growth or allowing growth.
because it's stunting the new because it's stunting taking the place. And what do you?
And maybe like, that's even that's past thinking. Maybe that's just still taking a waltz into the past. Maybe that's what's stunting your growth. Maybe that's what's stunting creativity and new ideas. Maybe it's because you're still somehow connected to the past. And, you know, this wonderful healing revelation that I had, and I still have to practice it. It's not like I have it perfectly, but it's to only look back to thank. Mm. And sometimes when we're so connected to the past out of perfectionism or out of things like, where we feel like we're a failure because of the past, or we feel connected to the abuse of the past or the struggle of the past or the weariness of the past, I feel like it stunts our growth for the future. And it's my challenge this year to be very present future.
You know, what you're saying here, Serene, makes so much sense. I think one can't happen without the other. When we embrace the new, you know, there is a new and living way. And the Bible says, walk in. It's like a command. Do it. Don't do the old. Do the new. Mm. But when you do something new, the old has to fall off. Mm-hmm. Like the scriptures say, put on the new man. Put off the old. You can't put on the new if the old's still talking.
Right.
You can, if still thinking your thoughts. So you got to put it off. But it's the same with our eating, right? So when we make these wise body honoring choices, the crap, the Christian cuss word, the crap choices for our body, the ones that undo our health, you could say, well, there's room for them both. But when if you're going to put in the new foods, something's got to go because you can't eat all day long, right? That's right. So you got to replace those with something else, and it's the new. It's the better. So the old junk, the ones that stinking up our lives, stinking up our bodies, the toxic foods, they go, and in comes the new, in comes the healthy. And so it happens at the same time, and it's a constant putting off the old, putting on the new. And that one day that we decide to do it, if no other days of the year,
yeah,
that people think, you know, oh, I'm just going to eat. That's what I've always done. This is what I always do. If there's one day of the year that it sinks in, I can actually treat my body better. If it's just one day, I feel like that one thing can lead to so much more, because it's like what happened with me with one push-up. I got the idea from the book Mini Habits. And he said, just do one. Don't even tell yourself to do anymore. Just do one. And so I got down before my shower and I thought, it's not going to take me any more time out of life. I'm going to do one push of it. And it was hard. Just one was hard. And then, but one became easy. And I started to notice myself getting strong with one, and one became two, and two became five, and five became 20.
I struggled in that push-up contest against you. I thought you might beat me.
But it's just that one. And it was just one day. Putting off the old. Now, my old was just to get straight into the shower, right? Mm-hmm. But my new is to do some push-ups, and it strengthens me and it's better. And so I think, let's always make room for the new. Mm-hmm. The older I get, the new thrills me and excites me more than anything else. More than anything else. And you could say, well, God should excite you more than anything else, Pearl, but God's all about the new.
But he's the God he's of the new.
And that's why I'm excited, like learning new information, pulling new habits into my life, eating new foods that I find out are healthier. It's all exciting. It's not like a big dread. Well, now I've got to eat healthy and I can't eat that and can't do this. No, it's the most exciting thing in your life, this new.
Yes. And I love this scripture just talking about God being the God of the new. It's in Isaiah 43:18-19. And it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And that's what I love about the new, because wastelands can become streams. Mm. People think, well, this is like Pearl said, this is how I've always done it. This is who I am. This is how I roll. And you know, I always seem to fall off track, or I always seem to do this particular whatever. But no, God, I love that. That's the cross. The whole gospel is about the new. We can't do new by ourselves. So God came and just died on the cross so that new can be for everybody. That new is possible. Now new it's possible.
And do you know what I think? If you're listening right now, and for you, maybe you, what, is called fall, it fell off the wagon, right? Maybe your old habits came back and your old thought pathways and they kind of took over again, right? And maybe now it's that one day or that time where you think, no, I'm going to go back to that trim, healthy way of eating. It seems wise. It seems like the only thing that makes sense because it's not dangerous and it's not scary and okay, I'm going to do that. There's two ways to look at it if you're coming back as new with a whole new mindset and discovering new things about it, or as an old repeat trying to catch up. And I would beg of you, do not look at it as a repeat trying to catch up to where you were before. This is a whole new journey. It is learning this for your health. It is not learning this just to be lighter or necessarily get a new number on the scale, because that is when people give up. Mm-hmm. Because you're just like lighter. I would look at it just as to be stronger metabolically, to be stronger in your beautiful choices for your body. And to look at it as a new experience. You know, I always think of Coach Debbie that sat here and she'd done all the diets. She'd done Trim Healthy Mama for a while and it worked. And then she decided to do all the other ones after that and they were not sustainable. And she was in a very terrible place at the end. She'd put on weight and she says, what is the one thing that I did that I actually could do for the rest of my life? She's like, oh, it's that Trim Healthy Mama thing. Okay, I've only got one last try in me. I'll try that again. And then she said, but I'm not going to do it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do it for a number on the scale. I'm only going to do it to truly learn about how to fuel my body in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed everything for her.
Mm.
Everything.
I love that.
And I think that's what this news can. I know there's so many of you that got derailed, mm-hmm, because human nature is to get derailed, right? But it's to pick yourself back up and not come back just to catch up, mm-hmm, but to be that new mind and to have that new way of looking things. And that's going to be your success. Oh, I love
so
it.
So good, Purr.
Oh, Pearl.
You know, I fell off the wagon for like a month in my push-ups.
Yeah.
And you remember that podcast a couple back where we talked about how like not using your muscles, you can start to feel inflammation.
Yes.
Because it was like leucine 6.
Yeah. Interleukin 6. Yeah.
Interleukin 6. Yeah. I just made up a word, leucine. What is
well,
leucine?
Leucine is a thing. L. Yes. It's an amino acid.
It's just a random vocab word I've heard here on the podcast. But it was about how that floods your body,
mm-hmm,
and then you feel like inflammation, joint pain.
It goes, the inflammation in your body goes actually the joint, the pain and your muscle tear fibers, and it goes there instead of inflammation in your body to heal those tear fibers.
Yeah. So I fell off the wagon for like a full month. I was starting to get a booty do, you know, where your stomach sticks out further than your booty do.
Yeah.
And, you know, like for me, like I don't want like flat chest, big belly.
No, right.
Like
right.
I'm starting, I get upset when I start to, mm-hmm, personal goals here, people,
right,
not for you, this for me. So I want to reverse that.
Mm-hmm.
I want puffed chest, flat belly. And I was getting into that guy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, I've lost all my work. Mm-hmm. I lost all my push-up work. And, you know, and it was, the thoughts were so crazy. You know, I'm 42. Man, most guys my age, my peers, guys I'm hanging with, they're not looking like what my goal is.
Mm-hmm.
And is this vanity? And is this all just, why am I doing this work? So to hear that, like I just 3 days ago got back on,
mm-hmm,
back on the wagon. I just went, yeah, you lost a lot of gains. You're going to have to get set back a little bit.
Did you feel like you had to play catch up and get up to where you were? Because that's where I think we get really depressed.
No, in fact, yeah. I just thought, what I did was I just broke in easy. Like I did 5 push-ups.
Yeah.
You know, and then waited a little bit, stretched a, mm-hmm, little bit, then went to 8. You know,
kind to yourself. Yeah.
Just kind, you know, like, man, don't get all gung-ho. You're going to pull a muscle. You're going to get hurt here. And just to like start again, mm-hmm, was really cool because I found that I actually wasn't so set back like I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I actually did retain some muscle. It wasn't showing because I wasn't in the groove, but I wasn't off the wagon as far as I thought.
But do you know what I'm noticing about this whole storyline that you're saying here? You could have very easily gone the way of your self-talk.
Yeah.
That said, you know, I'm 42 and all my mates, you know, they're all getting the dad bod, you know, so I might as well go get dad bod with them. And, you know, is it even attainable at my age? Is it, maybe it's even vain, you know, but sometimes you can have the same
project ahead of you, the same amount of work ahead of you, but your paradigm, your lens, the way you look at something can either just take you right down another way or make it so much more of a struggle. Because that can be with me too. I can enter the weight room or go for my morning sprints or whatever. Or maybe it's not exercise. Maybe it's just, you know, a mindset about life in general. And I can start, even though I know like what I should be thinking, I can get the darts in my head and think the crazy thoughts and think the darker, anxious thoughts. And life feels heavy. The project feels heavy. The atmosphere feels heavy. But then I can have like my friend Graham Cook, who's not really my friend, but I've never met him. But I've heard him say, if your thought isn't making you feel good, if your thought is leading you down the wrong path, have a better thought, right? So sometimes I'll just change my whole thought and you change the way you thought, you know, maybe I'll just start slowly. Well, maybe it is attainable. And you change the whole way you look at it. And I just think it's amazing. The whole atmosphere in the room can change. I can feel energy surging through my body. I can, like, everything can change. Nothing circumstantial, but just with a paradigm switch.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like fire.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. That has happened in my marriage before too, right? Like, so sometimes in my marriage, if you keep a record of wrongs, especially, and the Bible tells us not to do that, but if things start adding up and, you know, and then I start to think, yeah, he really is like that. Oh, he's doing that again. And I really don't deserve that. And yeah, he really is a control freak. Look at us at the grocery store and he's lining up all the butter together. And I want to just throw the butter on there when I want to, you know. And I can really start, you know,
Thank you for that window into your life, by the way. In my past,
I have, it's a paradigm of, okay, so my husband is not actually a control freak, but there are some things in his personality that I could actually label it. We all could be labeled with certain things, right? So I could label him control freak. Okay, but then I have chosen, and you've even encouraged me, Serene. Yeah, he's so cute, Pearl. Pearl, he's you know his love for you, right? No, that's just his cuteness. But I could look at it completely differently in a comical way, giving him grace, just like I need grace for all the labels people could label me, you know, depressive and all those things.
That's not who you are.
No, it's not who I am, but people could have labeled me that back in my past. We're all walking out of things. And just to look at him, at those things, as him as differently, just have a new thought about it, changes everything, changes the atmosphere in my home, changes the way I look at him. I think we should reshape the way we look at our spouses every day.
Changes the reality of who he actually is.
Yes.
Like when you look at him, all that's real is your perception of him. That's it. Like if you see him a certain way, he is magically that way.
I have gone from being so frustrated and so thinking that, oh goodness, to thinking I could almost worship the ground he walks on. Mm-hmm. Nothing changing but my brain space.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You know, and often the to-do it is almost to look at things as a little bit more comically. Like Pearl with the whole grocery store. Can I go elaborate into that a little bit more?
I've shared it here a few times, but we have newbie listeners. Yeah.
Because he really will, when she's putting all of those groceries on the conveyor belt, he really will go get all like fusty musty and go,
he will.
Pearl, like, you know, eggs go with eggs.
Yeah.
Cans go with cans. And he's a little bit snifty about it, right? And she just decided, you know, I could ruin my marriage over this. But he really wants to come grocery shopping with me. Like he wants to be with me.
Yeah,
like he doesn't say, go wife, go get the groceries. He's like, let's go together. Like he was excited. And that's cute.
Yeah.
That's really cute. And the fact that he's such a psychopath at the conveyor belt is hilarious.
Well, and
like it's such a quirk that's so cute.
But
like,
I had to think of it as a quirk. And then now I do find it funny. And he knows I find it funny. And I let him do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it wrong. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let him do it. And I stand there and I just give him cute looks and we laugh and chuckle about it now because he's who he, I mean, it's all fine. And I think it's brought us closer. He knows he's nuts at the conveyor belt.
Oh yeah. My man, he gets in a bad mood whenever we go to an airport.
Yeah.
Like it's a bad, like his whole vibe changes. A darkness comes upon him. Like literally, I think I have been the worst wife in the world or something. I've done something terrible because, I mean, the looks on his face, it's almost, I call it his bomb face. He also gets it when I go into Whole Foods. Yeah. He gets a bomb
face. Well, my husband refuses to go into Whole Foods.
It's a look. Like if I don't get my wife and family out of this airport or out of this Whole Foods, now the place is going to blow up.
He's in fear of a real
bomb. He's worried about the money I'm going to spend at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
But at the airport, he's just worried about everything in general. But I could go on our holidays and we'll always see the airport. The reason why I'm saying this is the airport is the initiation. It's the beginning of our holiday. Yeah. Why are we at the airport? Because we're going away together.
Yeah.
And this is vacation.
So you want it to be lovely.
Right.
Yeah.
So oftentimes in the past, our vacation starts bad mood.
Yeah,
and can start the whole vacation where we're humping and like, and I'm not talking to him for a few hours. And it's like, because he should treat me better. And I'm going to act like, give the silent treatment so he knows that I'm
aggressive.
Upset.
Yeah.
Right. And then he'll be saying, what's wrong? And I'll be like, nothing. You know? But now I've decided that's so cute how he's concerned that we'll get there on time and that he's really just really wanting to start our holiday off smoothly. So this whole bomb face is actually his love for us and his love to make everything just work out so that we get to this wonderful place, you know? And so I've just decided to look at it in such a new way. And now I really look forward to his bomb face so I can be entertained about all the expressions he can like put on within the hour, you know, that are just so feisty. And I get so entertained at the energy he's putting into it.
I didn't know that he had the whole airport
thing. Girl, we
thing
call it
too.
De toots, right?
Okay, yeah, but my husband has the airport thing too.
Oh, yeah.
We often used to go away on vacations where I was passive aggressive because of how bomb face he was.
Yeah.
So, no, you just get past all of that, you know? If a man is good, he's a good man. If a man is bad, well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about general good men who have their quirks.
You know, when my sons were young, they would line up their Matchbox cars in a very particular order. Mm-hmm. And if you were to mess that up, it was a really big deal. And, you know, men get older and I don't think that changes. You know, we still want the boxes packed in the trunk in precisely the best way possible. And if there's one that's at an angle cornered because you failed to set the foundation correctly, man, we've got a problem. And we don't know why. We don't know why. You can explain it. Well, we love efficiency. Well, you'd be just as efficient if that box were sitting off at an angle. And besides, when you take your first left turn, it's going to all get jumbled anyways. Doesn't seem to matter for the male brain.
No.
Nobody knows why these things, but you're right. If you can see it as silly and cute, that's a great way.
It's not worth getting divorced over having a bad vacation, you know?
No.
But when you see them as a record of wrongs, and I've done that before, they pile up and you start counting them, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, do you ever, when you have bad dreams, like what are they about? This is an off topic.
It's not off topic. We're to trust you on this?
You have to trust me.
Do I have bad dreams? I've had a dream that Pearl and my husband ran away together.
Oh yeah,
and never
Charlie and I
worried about that.
No, never worried about that.
No,
like,
no, but it's a dream.
It's not even a thing at all.
Yeah.
But Charlie and I were chasing them, and we were so mad at Sam and Pearl that we chased them off the cliff so that their car just went off into the oblivion.
I don't know.
I don't have bad. That's the only bad dream I can remember.
I have a lot of intense bad dreams because I take melatonin at night, sometimes too much. And if I take like 10 milligrams of melatonin, I have very intense dreams about just so many things. All of them.
Family members who are axe murderers.
No, yeah, but a lot of them are chase dreams. I am being chased. Usually I'm being chased and there's a tornado somewhere. I'm trying to rescue my kids somehow.
Oh, you're trying to get them out of the tornado
or the huge tidal wave. Different ways. Or it goes back to my days of school where I haven't studied for a test. Yeah, I'll just have all sorts of things like
unprepared
that. Unprepared kind of dreams.
Yeah. I used to have reoccurring dreams that this is when I wanted to be a drummer. I finally got a gig and it was like a stadium level gig with a top A-list celebrity act and I'm the drummer. Except the snare was over there and the toms are up there and my sticks were nowhere to be found. And they were like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm like, no.
I used to have those dreams that my guitar wasn't tuned right before. And I was in the wrong key and I have to play.
And actually, my worst thing. I suppose I do remember some of my bad dreams, and they're repetitive. This part is when I'm running away from a danger, and I'm sprinting, but
you can't.
Oh, slow mo dream.
Yeah, it's so slower than slow mo.
Oh yeah,
it's the worst slow in the world.
You can't,
and you can't get out of it.
What about when you want to scream in your dream, but you can't, and in your dream you're not making any noise? Have you had that? You're trying to scream to get help, but nothing's coming out of your mouth. Oh, and have you ever woken up and you're making a weird noise?
Oh, my
when
husband
you do
does it every night.
Oh, does he?
He has night tremors.
Does he?
In the first 5 minutes when he goes to sleep every night. And now we're just used to it. And he's used to it too. And before he used to think, oh, there's demons in my life. I had better get rid of them. But now he's just like, oh, well, you know, they're not of me, blah, blah, blah. But he is always fighting demons for the first 10 minutes.
Really?
And he's always telling them to go in the name of Jesus. But he doesn't come out like that. It's always like, like, I hear that every night. That's my lullaby.
Oh, that's hilarious. Anyway, how is this relating, Danny?
Well, because typically your bad dreams are so absurd. The thing that
absurd.
You were scared of, you wake up to find it is like, let's laugh till we cry. It is so absurd. But when you're in that dream, it somehow you suspend reality, and in your mind, you know, you're chasing Pearl and Sam off a cliff together. And it all makes sense. And you're like, yeah, it not only makes sense that Sam ran off with my sister and it's real, it also makes sense that I'm going to murder them by chasing them off a cliff. And it all makes sense at the time. But when you wake up, you see what a silly little lady you are. Well, I'm starting to see, and treat life to be that way as well. Like, I think the Bible says that it's like life is like a dream that passes away in the night. And so as long as a dream feels, when you wake up, you see that it was actually a couple seconds of absurdity, and it should not be taken too heavy and too serious. And so that's sort of like a new place I'm coming to.
I think the verse was, life is but a vapor.
No.
Yeah, but his translation might be different. Okay. Danny's translation.
I read the Valdez.
The DNV.
King Valdez version.
No, but I get what you're saying.
It's a KVV.
In the scope of eternity, this is a little life journey.
Well, and that everything is actually cute and silly. Just like a husband lining up his things on a thing. Just like your grown husband man is behaving like my 2-year-old lining up his Matchbox car at the supermarket. And it could be a serious point of contention.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't, because this is a silly dream and we're supposed to have a lot of fun here. Mm. And we're supposed to grow and learn here.
Yeah.
And change the world in a super positive way. I'm not trying to be inspirational. I just realized at the end there that I got inspirational, and I want to stop and I want to back up and say that if you try to set goals for the New Year's, you're going to fail. No, I'm done with that.
No.
I'm done with that.
Yeah.
And I want to say you're going to succeed.
Yeah.
And I love you all.
Yes.
I mean, what more do we have to say?
Well, you know, there's that scripture in the Bible.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Scripture.
Bring us a little bit out of
scripture
in
the Bible.
First Corinthians. Serene Carice Ellison's translation, because I can't remember exactly, but it's
Carice?
You know, Carice is my middle name.
Yeah. Means grace.
It means grace. Yeah. Some people say it Charis or Caris, but we say Carice in Australia.
Why have I never known your middle name?
Yeah.
It's rather lovely, isn't
it? Anyway,
it brings her up a notch, doesn't it?
That's queenly.
Yeah.
Serene Carice.
I was meant to be Carice. My dad wanted Carice, but my mom was unsubmissive and had Serene.
So you were, you know, I was about to be Arturo, so don't feel too bad. Yeah. And that doesn't work in America. And in Mexico, it's quite the lordly name.
Yeah. I hear the lordliness of it.
It's lordly.
Well, anyway, you know, the scripture that says, you know, neither the future, the present, neither life nor death, nor angels, nor, it mentions everything in the world. Everything can keep you from the love of the Lord. It doesn't mention the past. It doesn't. Because the past actually can keep you from the love of the Lord. And I don't know why it was left out. I'm just putting my own interpretation here.
Probably on purpose.
But it is left out. The present tense was mentioned. The future tense is mentioned. Height nor depth. It goes through everything. You know, sickness. It goes through the whole thing. Mm. Can't keep you from the love of the Lord. But the past, because past rots us. Past keep us in the grave. We can't live back there, but we try to. And so our life becomes like we're living zombies. And so this new year, this is my goal and this is my challenge as I am, you know, opting to walk this way, and I'm encouraging you guys to let's live present future. Let's only look back to thank. And, you know, if there's nothing to thank, then maybe we can just be thankful for the lessons we've learned through it.
You know? Always something
like you have, your childhood hasn't maybe got many things to look back. And if you look back, maybe you just see a lot of darkness or pain. But you know, you've said here before that you've actually rewritten things. So you look back and you're so grateful for the lesson, for the things that you do now because of what happened back then. And so there's gratefulness for that part.
100%. It's the spider bite that gave you your superpowers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's absolutely. Yeah. I'm so grateful. I had a friend do that exercise I've mentioned before where I had to close my eyes and think about revisit those events.
Yeah.
And that's one of the times he said, what if they could mean something different? What would they mean if they could mean something different?
Right.
And then I just like magically chose for them to mean that I had these powerful abilities and they gave me all this tempering and strength and metal.
Because I think we would have so much more energy if we arose every morning to the fresh new day like we're meant to, like our creator designed us when he said it's new every morning. Great is his faithfulness for us. Every morning, it's a brand new slate. But see, we carry over from yesterday. And so we're worn down by yesterday. Because so many people say, and I've said so many times, it's just a hard season. It's just a long season. And do you notice I'm doing that voice again too, Danny?
Voice.
Yeah, the stupid voice. Yeah. Well, the stupid things I've said before.
It's how I talk when I'm wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
So when I've been wrong before, it's like, it's just been a long, long haul. You know, I'm in the wilderness, you know. But we're just carrying over. Because every day can be fresh, but we have to choose it.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Do you know what, Serene? I'm thinking, and you and I are overtly Christians, right? That's our faith. So we talk about our faith here. Mm. And other people listen here maybe who have not of faith or they have different faiths. But I was just thinking about it, that I feel so grateful that this faith that I have chosen and that I cling to is all about the new. Mm. God is all about the epic new turnaround that he says every single morning and that it encourages us in like so many scriptures, too many to count, choose the new, constantly choosing the new so that we don't stay in the past. So, you know, if this last year, you got turned around and you made some choices, you know, maybe for your body that weren't great or for your relationships that weren't great. You know, it doesn't own you. That's the past that Serene was talking about, that we don't let take over and say, define us. That's not what defines you.
And it doesn't matter if we were complete moron failures back there in the past. That's okay, because that is the gospel. The cross came because none of us can do perfect.
Yeah.
None of us could do the perfect. So that's why he came perfect.
And so isn't it wonderful
that we can walk in the new?
That we choose this?
Yeah.
That's what I say that I believe in. If I'm a believer, I do believe in the new and I do believe in the epic turnaround.
And if we are believers and those who are believers that are listening, and of course that doesn't fully make sense because we've said here on a potty before, everybody's a believer.
Yeah,
they believe in something.
You believe in something.
But if you are a Bible-based believer here listening, I forgot what I was going to say because I twisted it back to saying, well, you know.
There's only one thing that you can hold in the brain at one time.
Yes, I know. And it was so good. It was epic. Come back to me. Oh.
Okay, you were saying, let's rewind.
That's why people interrupt each other because they are terrified they're going to lose their thing.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Thank you, God. Okay, we call ourselves new creatures.
Yeah.
The new creation. So if you really are a Bible-believing person and you're listening, to make this new year real for you in your walk with this belief, then you got to put on the new because that's who you are.
Yeah. And
that's your name in the gospel.
And it does
creature.
Involve the choices you make for your body. It's not just spiritual.
Yeah.
It is spiritual. But spirit, soul, and body are just so much more entwined than we ever thought. And I know a lot of us Christians, you know, we the church teaching was, you know, work on your spirit, man. But God created these bodies, and a part of that, representing who we are on the inside, we represent too with how we look after this amazing vessel.
Well, you know, with the temples of the Holy Spirit. And when you read the descriptions of the work and the effort that they put into the actual temple in Jerusalem, and the care and even the embroidery of the people's outfits that were going to walk into the temple. I mean, unbelievable. And so I think all of that is written too as a lesson to us that we are the temple. And so we are to take care. We are.
Dude, I've treated my family poorly because of my food choices in my past. Mm. We cannot say that food is not. I used to think, in fact, when I first started, was like working in the office, I thought, is it a bit extreme?
Oh, you
to
mean
like,
the Trim Healthy office when you first started working?
Thank
first?
You.
Yes.
Pearl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trim Healthy office.
Contacts.
When I first started work, I remember I was terrified to bring a Coke in.
Yeah.
I was like, man, Pearl or Serene may waltz through this office.
And we would have given you beady eyes for it too.
Detonate.
Yeah.
Not on our watch. We got a brand to think about. Our people can't be. No, but I found out you weren't that way. But
just a little bit.
You said just a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you were a little bit. So what was I saying?
You were saying when you first worked with us.
Oh, I thought maybe guys didn't intentionally do it, but that you probably communicated that like your food choices were somehow like wrong before God or something.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And like if you eat unhealthy, it's like unspiritual.
Sin.
It was sinful or unspiritual. And while I know that that's not what you believe, nor is it.
No, but I just kind of said it here, didn't I? But I don't believe it's sin. Well, I just believe we're called to epicness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's not. So in and of itself, no, I don't think it's sin or God's like, hey, man, you know, should have chosen apple. My plan for your life is now going to be hindered. Not so much like that, no. But like now that I see and believe that so much of the spirit is actually contained in the physical universe, you know, and our way we treat people is quite spiritual.
Yes.
And how that affects our children, for example. I mean, back when I was a spiking, crashing, nauseated father,
of all the sugar spikes.
Because of the sugar. I said terrible things to my family. Not insulting or degrading, but I behaved in such a way as to make my children feel that dad doesn't want me around.
Well, context, people partake too much of the alcohol and they're awful to their family.
Yeah.
You partake too much of the sugar.
Yeah.
It's a drug.
It's the same thing.
It's a drug.
Yeah. Yeah. There was an ingredient in this candy I had the other day, someone gave me, and I was reading the ingredients because I'm a psychopath now. And one of them was, I was benzo something. And I was like, benzo, that name
benzos
sticks out to me.
Oh my goodness.
And so I looked up just benzo without saying the full name. Because I was like, let me just find what's benzo. Benzo is, I think it's an antidepressant.
Yeah.
The benzenes, right?
It's like, kind of like Valium type thing, right?
Yeah. But when I typed in the full name that's in this candy, it's a preservative.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, but we've got a similar base here. And then I thought about how this candy classically makes people feel. And it does serve as an antidepressant for a moment. And I thought, man, is this like an antidepressant? Just put right into candy? And if they have the same roots, is there something here? And, you know, the point I'm sharing is that foods have a powerful impact on our spirit.
They do.
And I don't think God's judging and watching so much as the way we act and behave in this world is absolutely affected by food.
I think so, and how we feel. If we're feeling like, okay, let me ask you a question, Danny. When you were not doing your push-ups and just felt a little bit of jelly belly and you felt not as strong, that affects the way you you feel about yourself and affects the way you treat others and it affects the way you go about this world.
100%.
Right?
100%.
I do think the state of health we're in affects the way we go about this world being light and life.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, if you're not in the best health, you can still be a light and life through your spirit.
Yeah, sure.
But here's what I want to say. I look at it like this, and I don't want to ever come across like, hey, you eat junk food, you're sinning. That's ridiculous. But what's optimum for us? What did God design us for? Okay, so I look at my choices. So I've never been much of a junk food eater, although I did, you know, have my times when I grew up to be an adult. We ate healthy as children. I grew up to be an adult. And in my late teens, early 20s, we never had fast food growing up. So I decided to partake. And I gained weight and I didn't feel good. So I realized, okay, that's not for me. The way my mom raised me was actually good. But
you had a little rum springer?
Yeah, a little rum. That was my rum spring, eating McDonald's and things like that. But my body didn't like it. But for much of my life, and I've shared that before, I chose fear. And that was part of my pathways in my mind, or anxiety and things like that. Now, God tells us to choose not fear, but faith and trust, right? But I didn't. Now, I could look at it as like, ooh, I was sinning. But I don't look at it like that. I just look at it as like, it wasn't optimum for my life. Now that I'm learning to not live in fear and to live in hope, to live in trust, it's better for my body. It's better for my mind. It's better for how I go about this world being light and life. It's just better for me. And it's not a thing of that's right, that's wrong. It's just optimized because God created me and he knows what I do best, and I do best, and so do you and everyone listening here, with not a fear mindset, but we do best with a hope mindset, mm-hmm. with a joy mindset. And so that's what I'm choosing. And it's the same, I think, so similar with our food choices. It's choosing what we are created for, which are earth foods that he designed, not foods that are full of like devitalized white sugar and all those preservative benzos. Things and benzos and stuff. It's these choices.
And we're designed for choice. Yeah. I mean, the whole Garden of Eden, the original thing was a choice.
It's choice, eh? Yeah. So I think on this one day.
And there's choice. There's life. There's death.
Yeah. And on this one day where people make this choice, I think it's a beautiful thing to start with that one saying, I choose today. Today I choose. And that's what the Bible says. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And your slate is light, light or darkness. Choose it. But then he says, and choose life. So he even tells us which one to choose.
And it doesn't matter if you fail and then one afternoon you choose death, right?
Yeah.
It's okay because the New Year's Day is actually new every day, new every morning, really the spirit of it. And so we get that chance again to choose life again in the morning, no matter how much of a failure we were the evening before or the afternoon before. And it's over. It's done. It's gone. It's old. We can't go back. We don't tie ourselves to it. We don't feel shame because of it. Enough to bring us to a repentant spirit, but not anything of condemnation or anything. And so that's what I love, like Pearl said, about the hope that we have in this, in the belief that we have in that. It's just all about newness.
I know. And so I think we've crisped up the point. We can end. Crispy, crispy.
If you were our father, though, you would repeat. Everyone stand now, and then we'd
it
up.
Say it all again.
You have to crisp it sitting, then crisp it standing.
Then do a song and crisp it one more time. But we'll save you for that.
Hey, happy New Year. And then I'll be true, nothing, mama, to stay.